there's a national report that says Washington State ranks dead last in providing beds for psychiatric care. That's led to people in mental health crisis being boarded in emergency rooms. Most emergency rooms are not equipped to house mental health patients for days, weeks, sometimes months. Earlier this week, we talked with Seattle Times reporter Brian Rosenthal, who's been looking into some of the problems plaguing mental health care here in Washington State. He says the economic downturn had a big impact on access to mental health treatment.
During the recession, we cut 250 beds at our state hospitals, Eastern State and Western State, which is 25% of the beds there. And at the same time, our hospitals have seen that they can make more money treating patients with cardiac problems or with other medical problems. And so they're cutting their own private psychiatric beds. So at the same time, while this is happening, we've made it easier to commit patients. And those two factors together has really created a crunch on the system.
There are mental health advocates who say our state is in a full-blown crisis when it comes to caring for mentally ill people. Among them is Sandy Ando. Sandy is the Public Policy Committee Chair for NAMI Washington, the National Alliance of Mental Illness, the Washington chapter. She told The Record's Ross Reynolds this morning that the mental health system has been underfunded for years.
Back in the late 70s and early 80s, when they were closing down psychiatric hospitals across the nation, money was supposed to be put instead into community services to allow people to live in the communities. That was really never done. And because of that, we had an inadequate system here to handle all of those folks who, many of whom used to live in psychiatric hospitals. So when we had inadequate services already and the recession rolled around, there were massive cuts made. And while there were massive cuts made to a lot of programs, unfortunately, folks with mental illnesses tend to not be as visible or as vocal as some other folks. And so our programs got cut even farther. So already inadequate programs got cut back past the bone.
Walk us through what happens when there are not enough beds for psychiatric care. What problems does that cause?
Our jails and prisons start filling up with folks with mental illnesses. Basically, when we're living in a crisis-driven system where people don't get help until they are in crisis, what we do is we drive people right up to the edge and of the cliff before we start helping them, and almost by definition, some of them are going to fall off.
So beds for mental health treatment give these people a place where they can be safe and where they can get the treatment they need, and oftentimes emergency rooms and jails just can't provide those kinds of services. But I noticed that Yakima and Kittitas and Klickitat counties have the lowest percentage of psychiatric patients housed in emergency rooms. It seems like they're doing something right there. How do they do it?
Well, they do it because they've invested the money to have the close supervision and care that folks need out in the community. Some folks can perform perfectly well out in the community so long as they get the support and services they need. But that does mean that we have to invest some money in those kinds of supports and services so that people can get that care. They can't be expected to just come to stability on their own.
Sandy Ando is my guest, Public Policy Committee Chair for the National Alliance of Mental Illness, or NAMI, the Washington chapter of that. One of the bills that you're pushing for would fund outpatient treatment. Why is that important to solving this problem?
Assisted outpatient treatment is that intensive treatment like you're seeing down in Yakima. But also it needs to be coupled with a change in the standard for involuntary treatment, because you can do wonders with voluntary treatment, but about 40 to 60% of all of our folks have anosognosia, which means that they really can't recognize that they're ill and don't have any insight into their illness at all. This is not a character flaw. This is a symptom. And when we have folks who need to have need to be involuntarily treated, we need to have a standard that doesn't require us to push them up to the edge of the cliff.
Now, the state legislature, of course, has been laboring under the problem of the Great Recession. They did add some funding back in last session for some programs, and you're drawing up some legislation for the coming legislative session. What do you think the chances are of some of what you think needs to be done getting funded?
You know, I have some real hope, but it's important for everyone who has, everyone to stand up and say, it's time for us to fix this problem. It's time for us to address these issues. NAMI's been acting as the canary in the coal mine for years, saying, if you don't do something, we're going to have problems. We're now at the point where there really is no choice. We have to take the steps to solve the problem. We have to do things like assisted outpatient treatment, which is akin to what's happening in Yakima and the other counties. We have to be taking a look not at just what it costs to implement legislation, but what it costs to not implement legislation.
That's Sandy Ondo. She's Public Policy Committee Chair for NAMI Washington. NAMI is the National Alliance of Mental Illness. She's advocating for changes to the state's mental health care system. She spoke with our colleague Ross Reynolds this morning. I'm Steve Scher with David Hyde, and you're listening to The Record on KUOW.